Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Do I believe in God? Do I really believe in God? Well, actually, personally, I absolutely believe in God, no question about it. But I'm wording the question that way because I want each of us to really challenge ourselves to think about that seriously. To really think about it. Do I really believe in God? It can be so easy to say, yeah, definitely, I believe in God, and not really believe in God. You recall one of the facts that I shared with you is that to believe in God from a biblical perspective is to go way beyond just acknowledging his existence. Yeah, we can do that, no question, and it is good to acknowledge God's existence. I tell you, it has got to be one of the strangest things in the world for anyone to even deny God's existence when he is the one responsible for the existence of every one of us. And some deny his own existence. Then you have others who say, well, basically God did exist at one time, but he doesn't exist anymore. He's gone. Why is it even important to people to make God non-existent? To make God a non-issue? Why is that so important? Do I believe in God? Remember, again, the biblical concept of believing in God is not just acknowledging his existence, but it is also acknowledging his superiority. It is acknowledging his supremacy, and it is embracing the commands and the principles that he has laid out that govern our lives, our living, our lifestyles, that let us know what kinds of mindsets, attitudes, and dispositions and positions we're supposed to be establishing within ourselves. Principles and commands that dictate the way we conduct our lives and the way we relate to others, including to God. Biblical belief in God has to do with acknowledging God's existence, but also committing to living a life that is pleasing to him, living in submission to him, and practicing submitting more and more and more so that it becomes easier and easier and easier for God to get us to do what he wants us to do. And not because we believe in being faithful puppets, but because we believe in being faithful children who deeply love and admire our Heavenly Father, which is who God the Father becomes once we decide that we are going to submit our lives to him, allowing him to free us from the domination of sin so that we're finally in a place where we can sin less and less and less and make right decisions that are intended to please God more and more and more, having accepted the fact that we accept the Lord Jesus. We accept Jesus, the Messiah, as our Savior, the one who rescues us from that power of sin that dominates and dogs us, has us living in enjoyment while it's destroying us, destroying our future, preparing us for destruction on the eternal level. We're submitting to him, allowing the Lord Jesus to be our Savior who rescues us from the domination of sin and from eternal destruction that follows a life dominated by sin. And we allow him to be our Lord, our Master, the one who calls the shots, especially as we learn more and more and more that he is so faithful to us, so trustworthy, so worthy of our trust, the best leader will ever find, the best leader will ever experience, the most faithful boss we could ever have. Because he knows all. He understands all. He has all power and all authority to get us where we need to be. Ultimately, before the presence of his Heavenly Father, who becomes our Heavenly Father again once we submit to his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the biblical concept of believing in God is about. It's not just about saying, yep, God does exist. Do I really believe in God? One of the things that the Lord Jesus said when he was here, he was talking to his disciples, and he said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. That's John 14 and 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And here's the thing. Commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ is all about relationship. It is about relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is also about fellowship, relationship with the fellow saints. It is also about relationship with those who are not followers of Christ. It is about caring about everyone. It is about loving everyone. Oh, we do make it our business to make sure that we handle business like business. And so when it is time to correct someone, we correct them. When it's time to confront someone, we confront them. Jesus did that all the time. He still does it. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit confront. And if you don't believe it, you think about what happened. Think about what happened to Ananias and Sapphira when they lied about how much money they had made from the sale of their property, when they brought to the church what they had brought and lied about it. And the Apostle Peter informed them that they had not lied to man, but they had lied to the Holy Spirit. And what happened? The man, Ananias, went to Peter and the others who were with him and lied first about what happened. And he said, hey, this is Acts chapter 5, verse 3. Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. The Lord took his life. That was a heavy confrontation. And the Bible says very clearly that God is not a God of partiality. About 3 hours later, verse 7 continues, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price that you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Ladies and gentlemen, God took the life of Sapphira. First, Ananias, and then his wife. The problem was that they lied about the amount that they had actually gotten off the sale. Because as some commentators explain it, they wanted to keep some of the money to themselves, some of the sales proceeds to themselves, which was fine. All they had to do was say, hey, look, you know what? We kept back this much for ourselves, but this is the portion we want to bring to the church. And just tell the truth about how much of it they were bringing to the church. Instead, they lied about how much they had received. And the Holy Spirit's confrontation, God's confrontation, was so powerful. harsh, so severe, that he took both their lives. So we do confront. I know that this is something that a lot of us get wrong. I know I did in my earlier years as a Christian. I'm just being honest with you. I didn't realize that although we are told to love, 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 that does not mean we don't also have the right to confront. We are all actually commanded. We are instructed to confront. There are principles in the Bible where God makes it clear that that's what we're to do. Jesus did that very often. And he confronted big time. So when we're talking about loving, we're not just talking about laying down and just letting people steamroll us. Don't make that mistake. But that is the starting point. The greatest commandment, the Lord tells us very clearly, is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. In other words, to love the Lord with all that we are. That's what it comes down to. Love him with all that we are. And the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbors in the same way that we love ourselves. Love our neighbors in the same way that we love ourselves. Not love the people who we like the most the same way we love ourselves. Love our neighbors in the same way that we love ourselves. So here we go. We're working on this whole issue of determining whether or not we truly believe in God. I mentioned that believing in God has to do with submitting to him, embracing his commands, embracing the principles he lays out for us in his written word, so that we allow what he has put before us to govern how we think, how we speak, how we act, how we behave. And here's the thing, I talked about submission. And the reason I brought that up is, again, because Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. One of the key tests of our love is our obedience. Jesus said, I'm not making this up, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And here's the thing. This is not a one-time deal where at this moment in time, I do love him. I hear what he's saying. I'm picking up on what he's commanding me to do, and I'm going to do it. And we do that one thing faithfully. I mean, we make sure that the quality of the labor is excellent. Whatever it is that he's telling us to do, to share with this person the fact that I love him and the person's a total stranger, and you walk over to him in the grocery store anyway, and you start sharing with him, her, the fact that the Lord Jesus loves him or her. Maybe he says, you know what? I want you to do this. This family is really having a hard time now. I want you to take those last three meats that you put in your freezer for your family and give it to that family. And you absolutely refuse to say, wait a minute, hold up, God. We need meat, and I pay good money for this. No, you sense that the Lord is saying, give these last three meats that you purchased and put in your freezer to that family, and you actually rejoice at the opportunity to help someone else in the course of obeying God. That's good. But this is what the Lord Jesus is really getting across to us. He's not talking about one moment in time where we really get it right. He's talking about a lifestyle. If you are continually loving me, you will be continually obeying the commands that I will be continually giving you. So today it might be give these last three meats. 2 weeks from now it might be go talk about my love to that person on that aisle, on the bread aisle. 1 month from then, it might be, hey, I want you to spend the next 2 weeks really examining your heart to see if you have truly forgiven everyone who has offended you. And you find that to be hard work because there's so much pain that has been there for so long. And you know that it's not always easy to determine whether you have indeed truly forgiven. But God has said for the next 2 weeks, that's what I want you to focus on. Will you obey him and spend the next 14 days truly focusing with honesty and diligence as to whether or not you have truly forgiven everyone who has offended you, who has hurt your feelings, who has been unfaithful to you, who has treated you treacherously, even when you treated them well? Ladies and gentlemen, that is part of believing in God. Love, faith, and obedience are all tied in together. Love, faith, obedience are all tied in together. The reason I'm mentioning this now is because I really want us to take a look at the fact that there are so many people who give the impression that they believe in God. But as we see how they live their lives, as we see what kinds of decisions they make that impact others, do we see a disconnect?
Don't deserve.